Welcome back, listeners, to Faith in Action, a new show locally produced by KFHC Ponca Sioux City and KOIA Storm Lake. This airs every Monday at 9 a.m. and replays every Saturday at 7 p.m. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm your host for today's show. And with me in the studio is a longtime buddy, Amy Block. She is Executive Director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Sioux City. And if you listen to our first segment, we got a lot of information on Amy. She's up from Minnesota before she got down here to Sioux City. And then worked at, I think everybody knew it as Jackson Recovery, now Rosencrantz. And then with Catholic Charities, 7 years. And she's executive director. So pleased to have you with me in the studio. And sharing all the good stuff and a lot of personal stuff about Catholic Charities. I mean, we could sit here and just do names and have stories. But what resonated with me was that reference you made to the telehealth. And, yes. Unless you were holed up in your basement, which some of us were for almost a year, you know that the pandemic affected us in many, many different ways. And it was very interesting to see how healthcare professionals reached out to serve the public in different ways when they couldn't physically be with them. And so, Amy, maybe you could tell the listeners a little bit about that transition into telehealth.
Right. It was pretty overwhelming and pretty fast, that's for sure. It was just like with everybody else, when COVID hit last March and everything shut down, we were not prepared. And so we went from all of our staff being in the office providing face-to-face therapy to we have to get all of our therapists working from home with laptops and providing telehealth services. And how are we going to do that? And within 2 weeks, that's what happened. And so, and also helping our clients be able to do that, because it was new for all of them too. And not only did they have the stress that, we were all dealing with, but so many of them, dealing with the stress of COVID, our current clients had all of the underlying mental health issues as well. And so we worked really hard to try to help them with that. We were able to find a platform to provide telehealth services confidentially and securely and all of that. Our staff were great, and our office managers were able to stay in the offices. They were the only ones in the office to make sure we had people answering the phones and being there to support our clients and our staff through all of that. And we really, throughout this past year, I think have been able to pretty successfully be able to do that. There were times we were back in the office and then back home, I think just like many others. But for the most part, since probably January, I want to say, we've been back in for the most part pretty full time. We have some clients who continue to provide, who are choosing to stay telehealth service through telehealth and providing those services. I think that what's been really great is in Iowa, they recently passed the bill, which is allowing for telehealth to continue and for mental health providers to get reimbursed at the same rate as face-to-face therapy. The only reason that we were able to do it during this whole past year is because of emergency proclamations at the federal level and state level that said, you have to continue to pay at the same rate as face-to-face. Prior to that, it was a much cheaper reimbursement, which for mental health providers, we can't afford to do that. And so now that we're going to be able to continue to do that, I think for individuals, whether it's because of mental health reasons, transportation barriers, because of where they live, whatever it is, now so many more individuals, I think especially in these rural settings, are really going to have opportunities to get health care. And it's interesting, right before I came, I just ran some recent numbers. These are just for Iowa, and these are as of February and March of 2021 by NAMI, which is the National Association of Mental Health, basically, that one of them, which I thought was so interesting, that of the 154,000 adults in Iowa that did not receive needed mental health care, 30% of them didn't because of cost, and another 30% because of transportation.
Wow.
And so when you think about that and what telehealth can provide with that, I really think it's going to make a big, big difference.
I'm curious to know, what did you find as you were doing the telehealth? What were the therapists saying were there the challenges involved in doing this?
I think, you know, other than, you know, the technology initially.
Sure, yeah.
And helping, you know, individuals with just getting that part figured out. For some people, you know, just trying to find that connection with people, it's harder to some of the visual cues with people, you know, eye contact. It was harder with kids, with some kids.
Okay.
Because they would get very easily distracted. If they're sitting in their room, it's like, well, I've got these toys here. I'd rather be doing this. So that can be really difficult, especially with younger kids. You often use toys or games to interact with kids, and you're not able to do that. So I think that was often the challenge. One of the things we really saw was very few clients missed appointments.
Oh.
Because they had pretty easy access, whether it was on their phone or on their computer, because they didn't have to travel to the office. So we had a much improved show rate for our appointments. So that was a good thing that happened with that. But there certainly were some challenges. Some clients did not like it and said, I'm just going to wait and I'm not going to do telehealth until I can come back and do face-to-face services. So those were some of the different things. Some clients didn't have access to internet, and so they had to do it by phone. And that really is difficult if you can't see somebody and to be able to connect and make eye contact during those sessions.
But there must have been some real joys and gratification, too, that the therapists were talking about that they might not have anticipated. Think going into it thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I can't see this person face to face. I can't maybe hand them a Kleenex. You know, there's this distance between us. But there had to have been things that they came to you and said, you know what, I didn't anticipate this, and this is really good.
Absolutely. Some of the great things, getting to see clients in their natural environments.
Oh,
you know, yeah. See, thinking about things, whether it was a couple or a parent and their child, seeing how they interact, you know, in your natural environment is much different than in a therapist's office. That's much more controlled. So when you get to observe those things and how people interact in a non-controlled environment, gives you much better perspective. And I think you're able to provide them with much better feedback on things. Gives you much better insight, I think, to really be able to help them. And I think the bottom line was we were just so grateful to be able to continue to provide support to people during such a difficult time. You know, people were struggling with isolation, with anxiety, with stress. And I think that for so many, well, for all of us, whether it was our support staff answering phones or the therapists who are providing the therapy, just being able to be there, I think, was probably the most important thing that we provided to our clients.
And I think most of us who have any kind of interaction with individuals who are in the field of mental health often perceive them as being well-adjusted and stoic and there for us. But how did you all manage to get through it, too, without the ability to come together for the 9 a.m. staff meeting with a cup of coffee and maybe a donut or something, or happy hour at 4 o'clock with something else.
Right.
How did all of you cope?
You know, it was really challenging for our therapy staff. And it was something that was one of my biggest priorities, I think, because, you know, for them, you know, they not only had their own stress with dealing with COVID and what that meant for them and in their own lives, you know, for so many of us and for people maybe who never had experienced mental health symptoms before, or maybe they had, or now they all of a sudden, as well, for some of our staff, they had kids at home. Maybe they had a spouse who lost a job or all these other things. They also then had to try to help other people with their own struggles with COVID. There was never really an escape from it. It was 24 hours a day. And so there was never reprieve. And that was extremely challenging for all of them. And so we really focused, myself and the other, you know, members of my leadership team, really spent time talking about self-care, giving extra days and time off, trying to find ways to recognize them. Our board of directors was absolutely wonderful and supportive. And we also found a day in the summer where we met in a park and we stayed very far away, but just to see each other. And so that was a big part of my role and our leadership role, leadership team and our board, to really, how do we say thank you and make sure we're taking care of them?
Absolutely. And listeners, I hope you are gaining a whole lot of information too about Catholic Charities and how they serve everyone in the Diocese of Sioux City and probably Northeast Nebraska and Southeast South Dakota and up to the border in Minnesota. So glad you tuned in. Don't go away, or go away and get something to drink and maybe a treat. But come back, because, again, it's time for us to take a short break from Faith in Action. But stay tuned, because we will have a lot more on Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Sioux City.